Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Under a Shady Tree, and this is Reverend Terry Power. And we are joined tonight by my partner in crime and great friend. We are joined by Reverend Onyx. How you doing, man?
I am always doing fantabulous, and I hope you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so damn tired of the cold I could scream, though.
I saw a meme on Facebook earlier. I was really looking forward to enjoying spring if I'd known it was going to last for more than 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been nice. Yeah, it's been brutal. I mean, it snowed at Robin's house this morning, so.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I can't complain. Yeah. The weather here has been nice. But I understand most of the rest of the country, especially north of me, it has been, like you said, brutal.
Yeah, I had to walk out some fiber plant today, getting ready for a build. And we were walking out all the poles, and it was so bitter that the guys that I'm working with on this project are outside up in the air, you know, power linemen.
Right.
And they agreed with me, and we all went back inside and found more layers. I mean, we left the field went back to the office. Oh, I mean, it was brutal.
On the shady side of an igloo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just ugly today. And I'm done with it. So that's why I think next Wednesday, Robin and I are going to get on an airplane and fly to Florida.
I hear you. Yeah. And then next Thursday night, we've got that big that big live remote that we want everybody to show up for.
That's right. A week from tonight, on the 30th.
Plug that, my brother.
Sir?
Go ahead and plug that, my brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah, a week from tonight, on the 30th of May. The 30th of May. A 30th of April. You know, here I go, you know, wishing my life away. The 30th of April, Robin and I are going to be attending. Actually, the whole weekend, we're going to be attending the Florida Pagan Gathering and teaching some classes. But the 30th of April, a week from tonight, at 10 o'clock in this time slot, we're going to be doing a live remote from the site. We're going to be talking to some of the headliners. We're going to be talking to Raven and Stephanie Grimassi, some of the members of the Dragon Ritual drummers, Evo Dominguez. So we're going to have a great time. We're going to talk to some of the participants at the event and just basically try our best to share the event experience with our listeners. Because there's nothing in the world like going to a pagan event. I mean, it's just amazing.
No. I agree. Any of you folks out there in listener land, if you've never been to a pagan event, you are missing quite a blessing. You are missing a huge, huge portion of being in the pagan community, because that's what it's about. And when we get together at gatherings and things like this and events, you really see the magic happen. You see the community come together. You see the camaraderie, the fellowship. You get together to learn and to teach and to, you know, to rub elbows. And it's just a wonderful time. And you can't beat watching the dancers around the fire. I'm sorry, that's just me.
I'm usually one of the dancers around the fire, listening to the drummers
and watching the dancers.
Yeah, and I'm usually one of the dancers, so I can't help but get up and move. And fire and drums, I'm going to be dancing. So, I love going to events and the exchange of energy that you get from meeting people in person and getting out from behind these computers. And, that's just the best part of it is, we spend so much time behind our computers these days. I mean, it's a wonderful, and it's a wonderful thing to have the connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
Of the internet, but it does not replace the feeling of exchanging energy person to person, hand to hand, and heart to heart. And
I'm right there with you, brother. I agree with you.
And go ahead.
We do the on air rituals here, and those are just absolutely wonderful. But it wasn't until, I guess, our association, Terry, that I even considered doing any kind of ritual that was not face-to-face. Call me old school, call me stick in the mud, whatever, traditionalist, whatever. But it wasn't until our association that I even considered doing any kind of ritual, participating in any kind of ritual willfully, that was not face-to-face, hand-to-hand, heart-to-heart. Now, when I was doing, at one point I was doing some training and I was required to participate in a couple of online rituals, and they were online, text-based, type, in chat room type rituals. I understood the reason for it, but I did not like it. And I don't do them. I don't do text-based online rituals. And if you remember our conversation when you started talking about, doing this with CERN, I put up a little bit of a fight. I'm like, I don't know about that. And you convinced me to give it a shot, and I like it. I really do. It's a different feel, but it's a wonderful feel as well. We talk about on the on-air rituals. I came to an understanding once I started doing the on-air rituals that since time and space both are illusions anyway, the separation of is an illusion anyway, then, on-air rituals, when we're connecting my voice and connecting my energy, is a very good thing. But I'm still just a little bit old school where I say it's a great thing, but it doesn't replace, feeling and touching and being right next to the person. It doesn't replace, being with somebody physically.
Oh, I agree with you there. I agree with you completely. It does not replace in-person ritual.
Mm-hmm.
But
it is a good thing. Our on-air rituals are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it definitely provides a service. It provides a service to people that are either shut-ins or there's not a lot of people around them. But I tell you what, we're coming up on festival season, and it is time to get to an event. Robin and I, when we consecrated the new altar, and those of you that haven't seen the pictures of that altar that we built last weekend, that's got to be a 1,200-pound slab that we set up on top of that stump. And it's amazing and beautiful. I mean, the energy of it itself is wonderful. It's connected to the mountain right there where it came from. And just standing there, you can feel the energy of the mountain vibrating through it. And we did a ritual together that night to consecrate that altar and to honor the spirits of the land. And it was amazing, you know. Even though it was just the two of us, the sharing of energy and the touching of energies. And so now we're planning a get together on the 20th of June up at the property to have some people up there and do in-person ritual with other people, in addition to our trip coming up next weekend and meeting the new people down there at the pagan gathering and doing the live remote and all that stuff. It's just, we're excited about doing in-person ritual. And, you can't replace that kind of feeling and that kind of energy. Niv in the chat room says it supplements. Mm-hmm. These on-air that's exactly right. It mm-hmm. supplements the energies and supplements our group work. Also, group work doesn't replace personal work.
No, you're right, absolutely. I often tell people that a coven is nothing. It is a group of solitaires to indicate that, you need to be doing the work yourself as well, individual work as well. It's great to be in a group. I know that a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth for group work, and I understand some people having a bad taste in their mouth for group work, but
mm-hmm.
If you can find a group that feels like family, let's just put it there. Nothing says loving like something from the coven.
Yeah.
If you can find a group that feels like family, group work is absolutely wonderful. But it can go the other way too. If you get involved in a group that is dysfunctional, it can leave a very bad taste in your mouth. So you need to be careful, not overly cautious, but at least careful and discerning. Don't jump into the first group that you encounter. That may not be the fit for you. But once you find the right fit, you'll know it. Everything ramps up exponentially. But like you say, Terry, I agree with you. It does not replace individual work at all. Individual work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even in a family where you do family ritual, mm-hmm. The work that the ritual that Robin and I did on Sunday night doesn't replace our individual our individual work with our own with our own personal deity. We all have to do our own work. And then we bring that together in a family, and then we can bring that into a larger group with a coven or a temple, and then we can express that into larger areas such as open ritual, attending events, and working with ritual at large, large group events. And it just grows out from there, but it's got to start with your personal connection to the divine
mm-hmm.
and developing that. The energy that Robin and I had on Sunday night could not have been what it was if we hadn't each done our own work. If we weren't there already, And if we hadn't already done our own, you know, developed our relationships with our concepts of the divine, then we couldn't have done, we couldn't have had that feeling encircled together. You know,
right.
Without each of us having our own development. And so I think that a lot of that gets lost sometimes.
I agree.
You know, since we're having... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, we've got questions that we're wanting to deal with tonight, and I think we can move on to that if you'd like.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that I think that the questions tonight from... you know, from new dedicants are actually kind of this little intro that we just had was probably a fitting introduction to talking about that, because, you know, I will tell people all the time, you've got to start with your own relationship with the divine.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
You know, like you said, a bunch of covens, a bunch of solitaries coming together. And that and that goes to the heart of the issue. If we don't have our own relationship, if we don't have our own practice, if we don't have a firm sense of ourselves and our connection to the divine, then we don't have, you know, then we don't have anything to bring to the group. So
You're right.
So anyway, so the first question tonight, and I've got the, I'm not even going to read through all of it. I'm going to sum up my understanding of the question.
Okay.
And we're just going to take it from there. And it's something to the effect of, if there are so many types of magic, why wouldn't everyone just share this information? Why keep it all hidden? And what I took from that was, you know, basically, you know, new person excitement, you know. But why do we keep some of it hidden?
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you run with that.
Oh, okay. Well, a couple of things I want to put out. Not knowing the context in which this is asked, I have to address it from two different tangents. And the first tangent that I like to address is, if we're talking about magic in a religious context, like Wicca or Druidry or Asatru, whatever, you know, in a religious context, most pagans that I've met would agree that we need to find our own path. So if we're talking about magic in a religious context, then every tradition, every religious magical tradition that I've ever been involved with was very, very against proselytization, very, very against going out and saving the world, very, very against going out and passing out brochures, because a person needs to come to that on their own. They need to find their way there on their own. Now, if we're talking about it, I think that pretty much sums up my idea, if we're talking about it from a religious aspect. Now, if we're talking about it from a non-religious aspect, it is not hidden. If you'll listen very closely to me, people out there in radio land, I will reveal to you the biggest secret, or the biggest secret of the craft. The biggest secret to the craft is there are no secrets. There are mysteries, but there are no secrets. And there's a difference between mysteries and secrets. Secrets are something that if I told you, you would understand it. That's a secret. A mystery is something that if I told you and you didn't already understand the mystery, you wouldn't have a clue. It would go completely over your head. And I don't mean that in a negative way. So there are no secrets. Now, there are hidden techniques, yes, that are tradition-specific or whatever. But magic, in and of itself, there are no secrets. why don't we go out and teach, you know, why do we not teach dedicate level entrants, people who are pagan immigrants that are coming in to a magical tradition? Why don't we teach them the same techniques that we would teach somebody new coming in with 15 years experience in a magical tradition? Well, very simple. If you're learning a skill, then I'm not going to, if I'm adept at a skill and you have never used it before, I'm not going to teach you the master level techniques until you build up a base at the lower level and work your way up to it. It's not a, it should never be withholding information because you're not ready. It should be absolutely, it's here when you're ready. Build the basics and build up from there. Because if you try to shortcut that, you're doing nothing but hurting yourself. You have to build those basics down. You build those basics up from the ground up. You need to build those up. When you build a house, you don't start with the roof. And if you can start with the roof and build the house, I want to talk to you because you got something going on that I'd like to understand myself. But you got to start from the ground and work your way up. Magic is available. There are so many different venues out there, that where people can learn the art of magic or the art and science of magic. However you want to term it, magic training, magical techniques are available all over the place. All you got to do is look. Nobody's going to come to your door and hand you a book. Go out and find it. It's available. It's not hidden. I think that pretty much sums it up. Oh, yeah. After folks says there, Joe Campbell quote that I absolutely love. For those who understand, no words are necessary. For those who do not understand, no words will do. And that's it. That's a quote that I have loved for years. Joe Campbell is one of my heroes. Thank you, Akifo, for reminding me of that quote.
Let's see. Where do I want to take this? I actually think that you summed it up fairly well. I don't have a great deal to add to it. I do know that there are times when we need to be careful. There are a lot of people out there that still don't understand and will not understand. And you start talking about magic, and they're going to look at you like you've grown another head. And they're going to, you know, be afraid of you.
They should be. I'm kidding.
Yeah. You know, and so,
beware.
You know, beware of the witches. But we have to be, you know, we have to be conscious about who we share that with. While it is a double standard, you know, absolutely, it is a double standard. There's, you know, they can, you know, other religions can talk about miracles and the power of prayer, but when we talk about it, it's, you know, it's all weird and creepy. And so we have to be careful with those people out there and be careful about who you're speaking to. As for proselytizing, yeah, I tend to agree. It's just simply we don't need to do it. It's wrong. We talk about other people doing it, and we shouldn't be doing it either.
Right.
You know, if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to have a conversation. But I'm not going to go out and, you know, hand out tracts or anything like that because there's no point. You know, people will find us they're going to find us in their own way. So,
right.
You know, I'm not not sure that any proselytization would do anyway. Yeah, it wouldn't accomplish anything. You know, people will find us in and of themselves. And
when it's time, they will come. When it's time for them,
absolutely,
they will come.
And there's nothing we can do about it one way or the other. So, You know,
now, I wanted to touch on
finding,
something.
People are finding pagan paths, or hang on a second, but people are finding it in droves now. Why do we need to go looking for it? So, no, go ahead. I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. I thought you were done. One thing I wanted to expand on a little bit, you mentioned, you know, that we need to be careful who we talk to about. I don't know if careful would be the right word that I would use, but I would remind people that discretion is advised. We don't need to hide who we are. I agree absolutely with people. There's no reason why we should have to hide who we are. But at the very same time, we don't need to wear it as a shield or a banner or, you know, the hubcap-sized pentacle and all this either. We should be mindful that even in today's world, as advanced as we would like to think our society and our culture are, and accepting, that's just not always the truth. So, in my opinion, the reason I don't broadcast, I don't hide it, but I don't broadcast who I am or what I am or what I believe. I wear a little small symbols here and there for people who are aware will know. But I prefer not, when I meet someone, not to have to work from behind the eight ball to get things done that I need to get done, or to get them to accept me for who I am and not who they think I am based on any preconceived label or misinformation or even disinformation that they have about what I believe. Discretion. Because, you know, like you said, Terry, if they ask, answer them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If they ask, answer them. But don't go shoving.
People see my ring all the time. Yeah, people see my ring, and sometimes they ask about it. You know,
yeah.
I wear a rather nondescript, simple pentacle ring, and sometimes people will ask about it. Sometimes people will not. But if they do, I have a conversation. If they don't, then I don't bother them. You know, it's pretty straightforward. You know, let people come to me and.
In my younger days, this is a story that I've shared before, and it kind of came to my mind. I wear a pentacle pinky ring. Well, the one that I wear now is not the same one that I was wearing at the time of this story. But I was in a big box retail store, in line, had my pinky ring on my right hand. Just in one of those moods, just in one of those onyx moods. And the line was long. It was getting tedious. I put my hand behind my head, my right hand behind my head, stretched back. Little lady behind me, little elderly lady behind me, she goes, "Oh, are you Jewish?" And I could not help myself. I turned around and I looked at her, and in as dead tone as I could, you know, deadpan as I could, "Well, yes, ma'am, actually, I'm a rabbi in training, and when I finish my training, I'll get the other point. Have a nice day." And turned back around and left her thinking about it.
Very funny. Cute.
That was,
okay, well,
that was in one of my onyx times.
Yeah, well, we are just about at the bottom of the hour, so let's go ahead and cue up a song. Now, we've added some new music over the weekend, a new group that has, in fact, asked us to put their stuff on the air, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A group called Music for the Goddess, and let's see. This is actually, this album's been out, the album this all comes from has been out for probably 10 years. And the music's been around for a while, and it's a group called Music for the Goddess. And we're going to play the song Round and Round tonight. and share this with all of our listeners. I hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back shortly. Stick around.
You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Listening to Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you, Virginia. All right, loving it, rejoin. And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry, and you're listening to Under a Shady Tree and Onyx. Onyx, my brother, how are you?
I am here, and I am fantabulous, as usual.
All right. And that was
that
a very
song.
Cool song.
I love that song.
That's what we were both going to say. I mean, that's a great song. And we want to thank Music for the Goddess for allowing us to use their music. We'll be playing some more of their music during the next few shows. And with that said, I think we're ready to move on to the next question. And the next question was very simple, but then it goes on and gets a little more elaborate. I think I'm just going to start with the first part of it. Without giving too much of the background, the question is very simply, why can only witches teach Wicca? I'm going to let you run with that.
Well, first of all, we have to understand we have to define the term witch, first of all, because it's not only Wiccans who consider themselves witches in the broader spectrum. Some of the people in the Church of Satan consider themselves witches. You've got some that are consider themselves Christian witches, and the list goes on. But if we're talking about witchcraft in its religious context and in the Wiccan context. We narrow it down to that, and we use the word Wiccan instead of the word witch. Why can only Wiccans teach Wicca? I would counterpose the question, why can Presbyterians only teach Presbyterian theology? If you're looking for the religious context of Wicca, then it would only, to me, it only serves the better interest to go to the Wiccans to find out what they believe. There's no reason to go to the Episcopalian church and to ask what the Presbyterians believe. You go to the source and find out what they believe. Now, that being said, understand that Wicca is also a very large umbrella term. There are many, many, many different traditions of Wicca. And you can, you know, for those of you just coming into Wicca, coming from a Christian background, perhaps, you know, immigrants from the Christian background, generally speaking, you can use the word denomination in this place of tradition, and it's the same concept. Within Wicca, there are many, many different denominations or traditions. And I'm sure anybody that's been around for more than a few days can name off at least four or five off the top of their head. And each one of those are different. Some of those have subtle differences, and some of them are quite vast in their differences. But there again, Wicca as a whole is an experiential religion. So there is no dogma. So remember that when you're taking these Wicca 101 classes, that from a theological point of view, there is no dogma. There is no, you have to believe this or you have to believe that. It should be the other way around. If you believe this, then you fall into this category. If you want to fall into this category, you have to believe this. It's quite the opposite of a revelatory religion. So short answer there is, if you want to learn Wicca, then go to the Wiccans. There again, you don't go to the Presbyterians to learn Methodist theology or, you know, anything like that. But that is my short answer. Yeah, go to the Wiccans to learn Wicca.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just kind of reminds me of somebody that goes to a seafood place and orders a steak.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, who knows how to make a good steak? Well, it's probably not the seafood place. You know, who knows how to teach? Who knows how to teach Wicca? Who knows how to express Wicca to help people to understand and to find the clues to the depths of the mystery? You know, it's sure not going to be some other faith, whether that's another faith within the larger umbrella of the quote pagan faiths, which you listed some before the break when we were talking about sharing magical knowledge, but druids and Asatru and even some of the reconstructionists types of paganism are not going to be teaching, are not going to be experiencing the same way that a Wiccan would. So, you got to be mindful of from whom you are learning. Because we cannot help but to teach what we know and what we believe.
Right.
And if I'm to teach a 101 class and you were to teach a 101 class, there would be subtle differences because you and I have subtle differences in our approach.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, if Robin was to teach a one-on-one class, there are even greater differences in our two practices. And as we meld them together, we move toward each other, which is going to make mine even a little more different than it is now. So what would I teach 5 years from now as opposed to what would I teach tomorrow? And so you have to be conscious of who the teacher is. And that's not a bad thing. It just is a thing. It's the nature of the beast, as it were. It's the nature of the creature. If I'm teaching and helping someone to understand the mysteries, I'm going to be teaching them to understand the mysteries as I understand them, and then find a way to seek your own answers. But I'm going to teach a 101 class from a viewpoint of what I know and how I connect and the things that have worked for me, and maybe an anecdotal story about something that's worked for someone else. But if it didn't work for me, I can only explain it as an anecdote.
Right.
So where are you going to go to learn? You're going to go to learn from somebody that believes what you want to learn. And if you're looking for something different, then go somewhere different. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I tell people, and it plays right into what you're saying. You mentioned that, you know, what you teach now is not going to be what you teach 5 years from now. I tell people that my understanding of the divine and my experience of the divine is not static. It is always evolving, always changing. I've even said in a few of my shows that this is my opinion as it stands right now. And heck, it might change by the end of the show. Who knows? I don't change my opinion based on what other people think, but I am open for change if I feel that it needs to change. If what I am working with and what I'm experiencing at this moment is working for me, and then in the next moment it doesn't work quite as well, and I find something else that does work for me and helps me with that connection to the divine even better, then yes, I'm going to adopt that. And that's the beauty of an experiential religion, that it is not static, that it is constantly evolving, and it's constantly evolving within each and every single individual who is experiencing the divine through that, under that umbrella. And if you think about it, even in the revelatory paths, the experience of the divine is constantly evolving, is constantly changing. It's just that in revelatory paths, you have more dogma, so you have more structure in what you can and cannot believe and still stay within that path group, you know, within that faith group, you know, without getting thrown to the lions, so to speak, or getting told. There you go. That's where I was going. Like in one of your stories. You mean there's a word for what?
It wasn't just any old heresy. It was a named heresy.
Yeah.
No, it was capital H. It was. So. Yeah, and you know, we find so many times, you know, with the revealed religions, and what's heresy to one denomination is dogma to another. So, and to a certain degree, you'll find that even in the pagan faith. I know there are some, you know, we hold in Wicca, we hold harm none as the highest ideal, and everything else is based on the concept of harm none in most of our morality. There are some pagan faiths that think that harm none is a waste of damn time.
Right.
So, and borders on heretical. So, and there are Wiccans who would think that this person saying that harm none, you know, ragging on harm none, they would think that person was uttering heresy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to be, again, conscious of what do we believe, and then find someone to teach us.
I think just as important, if not more important, of understanding what we believe is understanding why we believe it. Because if we're believing something just because we've been told that it's right, then maybe we need to rethink that. I'm not saying that what you're believing may be wrong, but the reason you're believing it, in my opinion, is wrong. If you believe something because someone tells you that you should, then that's not the way to go, in my opinion. If you are Christian, if you exist, if you believe right down the line in that whole Christian paradigm, and you understand that you understand why you believe it down deep inside your heart, you understand why you believe it, then that's where you need to be. That's how the divine is speaking to you. But if you're Christian because that's what you were told to believe, then you need to do some soul searching. And that works on the other foot, not as much, because hopefully we don't have, because of the way we look at theology and cosmology, the traditions that I've been affiliated with will not tell you you have to believe this. But if there were a, if there is a tradition that is dogmatic, that absolutely applies to them as well. So please don't misunderstand me that I'm bashing Christianity. The reason I'm using Christianity as an example is because it's the most prevalent example in our culture of a revelatory religion that has strict dogma. But if there is a tradition that I'm not aware of in, you know, under the Wiccan umbrella where there is a strict dogma and they say, well, you have to believe this. Well, no, you don't. If you do believe that, then that is great, but understand why. Like you said, question everything. Look deep inside. You know, even the charge of the goddess, we don't have revealed teachings, you know, or revealed scripture. But we do have illuminated scripture, and we do have, things that I would call illuminated scripture. We do have texts that I believe are from a higher source, filtered through the human. And the charge of the goddess, and in a lot of its different manifestations, is one of those, in my opinion. And in near the end of the charge of the goddess, you know, it talks about looking within for the divine. You know, that you're not going to find it anywhere. You can look here or there. You're not going to find it until you know the mystery, that what you're seeking exists within you. And, you know, the goddess representing the deity or the divine in the charge of the goddess says, you know, I've been there since the beginning, and I am that which is attained at the end of desire. But if we go a little bit further, and I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I don't understand why, but I'm told, you know, I'm being led to, if I'm not mistaken, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, in the Christian Bible, Luke 17:21, Jesus is talking, and he says, you won't find it. Look here, look there. You will not find it. The kingdom of God is within. Or something to that effect. So even there in that verse, we're seeing where the kingdom of God is represented as being within us, not outside of us. So you see that in a lot of different faith groups. So the answers are inside of us. You know, you don't have to just believe something because you're told to believe it. Believe it because you do believe it, and you understand why you believe it. End of rant. Or end of
song. Okay. Well, I mean, there's only about 15 things that I wanted to say while I waited for a breath. Oh, hell, I lost track. But the one thing that I was starting to say is, you know, when I said question everything, I was going to also include question everything, including what we believe. question everything we hear, question even what we believe. Because something I read in the chat room may give me food for thought that will subtly change my opinion or my thinking about something. The fact that beliefs are not, at least in our world, beliefs are not static. And you did mention something else, and I've had this conversation with people, back when I was living in Barbados, I think was the first time I actually said this to someone. Look, two people that sit on the same pew, side by side, in the same church, week after week, year after year, are still going to have a different connection to the divine and a different experience with the divine. Even two Catholics or two Baptists or two whatever. So, so it's not unreasonable to think that we're each going to have our own connection to the divine. And perhaps I'm going to follow that tangent as my final thoughts, because I think that's starting to wrap it up. So why don't you go ahead and tell people how to get in touch with you, do some final thoughts, and then I'll wrap it up with my comments on the personal connection.
Absolutely. We've talked about a lot of basic concepts here, and when I say basic, I don't mean elementary, but beginner, early in to the path type concepts here tonight. And I think that one thing that I would like to draw people's attention to, those who are coming into the pagan paradigm, is, first of all, I pray that you are not coming into the pagan paradigm because of, and only because of, rebellion. It's a valid way, obviously, but don't make that the only reason. When you come into the pagan paradigm, understand that it is very different in a lot of ways than the predominant paradigm, the Christian paradigm. If you come into the pagan paradigm and you are looking for rules, you're looking for thou shalt and thou shalt not, you're in the wrong place because we don't have them. And if you require them and you start making them up, then all you've done is put Jesus in a dress. All you're doing is worshiping Yahweh in drag. It's the same paradigm with a different gender structure. The difference is experiential, experience the divine, experience, understand what you believe, grow from within. If I can get anybody to hear anything, one thing is look inside for the answers, because that's where you're going to find them. How do you get in touch with me? Very simple. LadyOfTheCircle.org. LadyOfTheCircle.org. There is only one place that you can find me currently that is not listed on that website, and that is Raven's Nest Media on Facebook, or Facebook.com/Raven's Media. But the page is called Raven's Nest Media. That will be integrated over into LadyOfTheCircle.org within the next few days. But if you want to email me, RevonixHP@LadyOfTheCircle.org, the website is the easiest way to find me. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. Thank you, brother, for being here with me and us be together. And always a blast.
Always a blast. All right, my final thoughts, and it comes down to something that has been kind of a theme tonight, and it tends to be a theme of a lot of our shows, Onyx, where we talk about, we talk about that personal connection. And I was starting down that tangent a minute ago, and it's all about our connection. The question, you know, when we started, before we even got onto the question, we were talking about personal relationships with the divine and building on that when we come together in groups of varying sizes. We talked about expressing our exuberance and our excitement, perhaps even newbie energy, and our fascination with magic and crystals and stones and candles and poppets and all the things that we can do magic with, and how cool and exciting this is, and people looking at us like we're nuts. But this comes down to finding ourselves. And then then we started talking about, you know, learning and who we learn from, and it still keeps coming back to what you said about it's within us. And we say this every week, and I really do need to find the proper Latin translation. I had it once before and I can't find it. But the proper Latin translation for sit down, shut up, and listen. Because the divine is always talking. Within, without, and all around us. The answers are there. The answers are being given to us constantly. But if we're only making noise and asking, we'll never hear the answer. We have to listen. The answers are within. And when we start working on that personal relationship with the divine, that connection with whatever deity form you work with, and I really genuinely do not care. And it's not my job. But when we really find that connection and we build on it, then we find happiness and growth. We find calm and wisdom. It's all there. The answers are given to us all the time if we just listen. And I should have told everybody how to find me before I got onto that, because that would have been a really good place to say goodnight. But I got ahead of myself. The easiest way to find me is on Facebook, Rev Terry Power HP, or follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. Check in on our Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page as well. And a good email for getting in touch with me is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with Robin at that address. That's a shared email address. And if you want to contact any member of the staff, hosts, panelists, engineers, anybody here at the station, you can email us at surn.org@gmail.com. So, again, the answers are within you. Just got to sit down, shut up, and listen. And with that, I say goodnight to all of my friends. Thank you, Onyx, for your time and for being with me tonight. And I wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Good night, everyone. Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.